grade can follow out the back doors to attend children's church.
What a joy it is to get to worship with you every Sunday. Thank you for giving us your voice. Thank you for being here. If you're new with us and we haven't met, my name is Cody, and I'm the senior pastor here. Thank you for giving us your Sunday morning. And if this is your first time especially, hey, we believe that a local church is absolutely essential for every Christian person. We are not saved by Christ to live in isolation or to settle for a lesser sort of fellowship online or through some other type of media. We need face-to-face. We need people who know us and people that we know. And we'd love to be that church for you. And so if you're looking for a church home, you live in the area, we'd love to connect with you. And one of the ways that we can do that is through this card in the pew rack in front of you. It says Connect Card on it. And if you would feel comfortable doing so, your name, a little bit of contact information, and then the way you get this back to me is there are two black boxes right underneath the televisions in this upper lobby. If you just drop it in one of those boxes, then this becomes our top priority in the next week. We're not going to be weird, I promise, not any weirder than we already are, but we'll email or we'll touch base. We take this as permission from you to say, hey, go ahead and give me a call, go ahead and email me, and we would love to get to know you better and for you to get to know us better, so thanks so much for making use of those. If you've got a Bible with you this morning, would you open up to Genesis chapter 16? If you don't have a Bible, let me encourage you to use that black one in the pew rack in front of you. And you'll find Genesis 16 on page 11 in that pew Bible. I want to encourage you to keep that Bible open, take a few notes this morning as we track through God's Word. And if you need a Bible, if you just you don't have one, or maybe you don't have one that is very easy to read, we want to give you a Bible. So if you just check in at the welcome desk this morning, we have a Bible for you there. I'd be delighted to give that to you. Genesis 16 is our passage. Here's my question to you. Who do you listen to? Who has your ear? Who gets to dictate direction for you? That question feels especially important in our current cultural moment, especially as it relates to people's media choices. We sort of define ourselves now by which media camp we belong to. My overgeneralized perception of the past is that people just listened to the news. That was it. What we're going to listen to the news. It didn't matter where it came from. It was just the news. But that's not enough now. We listen to news with narrative, and so everyone has to decide who you listen to, and we live in different camps according to who we listen to. And this, it's not unheard of even that churches are defined in the same way also. I've heard of churches in recent years defined as a Fox News church or a CNN church. As for us, we're a Weather Channel church. I don't know what that means, but it seems neutral enough to work. This is an important lesson in listening. Who are you listening to? And it sets us up to jump into Genesis 16 and begin to think about listening from a spiritual perspective. It matters what voice we follow. And for people of faith, this lesson in listening is as old as Abram, and before him, as old as the Garden of Eden itself. Who do you listen to when conflict arises or when God seems slow with his promises? Who do you listen to when you're frustrated with the life that God has given you? The voice you listen to, that's the voice you follow. That's what we learn in Genesis chapter 16. There's a lot of listening going on in Genesis 16. Sarai is listening to herself. Abram is listening to Sarai. Hagar, the Egyptian slave, she listens to God. Now, if you knew nothing about Genesis 16, and I just gave you these three names, Sarai, Abram, Hagar, and I said, pick the one that you want to be, you would probably choose Sarai, or you might choose Abram. But you won't be surprised to know that, again, the Bible turns our expectations upside down. And the spotlight of our story, the example for us to follow, is this Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. Now, my purpose in preaching this passage today is to give you a hearing check. Who do you listen to? Are you listening to God? That's what we want to make sure of today, especially as followers of Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 16 gives us two lessons about listening to God. I want you to follow along with me as I read Genesis chapter 16. We'll start in verse 1. Abram's wife, Sarai, had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife for him. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan 10 years. He slept with Hagar and she became pregnant. When she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress became contemptible to her. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and when she saw that she was pregnant, I became contemptible to her. May the Lord judge between me and you." Abram replied to Sarai, "Here, your slave is in your hands. Do whatever you want with her." Then Sarai mistreated her so much that she ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she replied, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your offspring and they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her, "You have conceived and will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will settle near all his relatives." So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roy," for she said, "In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me." This is why the well is called Beer Lahai Roy. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. This is a story about listening to God. Who are you listening to? And Genesis 16 gives us two vital lessons about listening to God, simple in their concept, challenging in their application. And the first lesson is this: listening to a faithless voice leads to failure. And you know this. This is not news to you, but we need to sit in this truth this morning, that listening to a faithless voice is going to lead to failure. In this story, it is Sarai and Abram who listen to and follow a faithless voice. And what's the faithless voice that Sarai listened to? She listened to herself. It's her own faithlessness that guides her decision making. Look at how she assesses her situation in verse 2. She said this to Abram. She said, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." Is she correct? Has the Lord prevented her from bearing children? Is he responsible for her heartache and her brokenness? Again, here's what's fascinating about this story. Same thing we talked about last week in Genesis 15. We get to read it from the perspective of God. You have information about Sarai and Abram's future that they do not have in the moment of this story. So you get to ask questions about Sarai's behavior, her responses here. So has she evaluated her situation correctly? Absolutely not. Is God against her? Not by any stretch of the imagination. The problem is that Sarai has grown impatient with God. He has not delivered on his promise in a timeline that is pleasing to her. And so she holds God in contempt. And since he has prevented me, she's listening to a faithless voice from within herself. Now, is it wrong for us to listen to our inner voice? It's not wrong if your inner voice is seeking and speaking the will of God. It's not wrong to confer with ourselves or to apply wisdom from within to the situations that we're facing in our life. But if you're listening to a voice inside that speaks from impatience with God or disappointment with God or anger at God or faithlessness in God, then yes, you are listening to the wrong voice. We see this pattern repeated in the life of God's people. If you were to fast forward from Genesis 16 a few hundred years, you would land in the book of Jeremiah chapter 7. And here, God's people possess the promised land, sort of, but they are a people who have repeatedly rebelled against God. And here's how God describes his sin-loving people to his prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24, God said, "Yet they didn't listen or pay attention, but followed their own advice and their own stubborn, evil heart. They went backward, not forward." They followed their own advice from a stubborn, evil heart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever made a decision, taken action that was based in your impatience or anger with God rather than trusting and following him? Sure you have. If you exist, then absolutely you have made decisions based on what you wanted rather than what God wanted. How'd that turn out for you? Did your selfish actions ever stumble into righteousness? Would you say, I'm so glad that I made a rash decision rooted in a lack of belief in God because things really went well for me here? Never. Your track record is O for everything in that type of scenario. We have never acted out of a lack of faith and been better people for it. Sarai gets God wrong in this story. Not only does she get God wrong, but then she plays God herself, and she plays the role of God wrong as well. So she has a plan. Since God is against her, by her assessment, since his plans have failed, she has a plan of her own. Again, verse 2, she says to her husband, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Remember chapter 15? Abram said to God, "What about Eliezer? Maybe he can be my heir." And God says, "No, we're not going to do that." Here in chapter 16, Sarai says to Abram, "How about Hagar? Maybe she can produce an heir." This arrangement seems extremely strange in our modern eyes, but what Sarai recommends to Abram was an accepted cultural custom in their world. In these ancient Near East societies, having an heir was of utmost importance. It was absolutely vital that you had descendants to carry on your legacy. And since Sarai was unable to have children, it was culturally acceptable for her to give Abram her maidservant in the hopes that Hagar would produce a child for them. However, cultural acceptance is not the same as divine approval. That caught you off guard. Nobody said amen. I'm going to say it again and give you a chance to agree with me. And when you agree with me, you need to understand you're not agreeing against a world out there. We're agreeing for what this means for ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. Cultural acceptance is not the same as divine approval. Sarai's scheme is not merely about getting her a child. This is not just about a baby. Sarai chooses to play God in this moment. She will fulfill the promise in her own way. She's circumventing God's plan of blessing in order to take a blessing on her own. She played God and the results were disastrous. And so it is for everyone like Sarai who plays God with their lives. Here's what it can look like all too often, especially as it relates to our understanding of our eternity with God. God has promised us that everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ will be forgiven of their sin and saved from the penalty of their sin. But what so many people do is they reject God's revealed will in an attempt to take the promises of God for themselves in their own way. So many people will assess themselves as good and as religious by any number of standards. They might say, I was baptized as an infant. I was confirmed. I grew up in vacation Bible school. I was a part of the youth group. I've got this lineage behind me, and I'm a basically good person. For all these reasons, God should do me well. And all of their reasoning has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ whatsoever. Why did he die on the cross when you can save yourself by your own merit? But here's where we play God with our own soul. And you know what those results are? Disastrous every time. You cannot plead your case before God apart from Jesus Christ. But when you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus, you put your trust in him and you live your life to follow him, then every blessing God has for you is yours forever and ever. You've got to learn this lesson from Sarai and Abram today. Because not only did Sarai play God, but in this story, she also plays the tempter as well. Did you catch that? She says to Abram, "How about my maidservant?" It has echoes of the Garden of Eden. There are incredible parallels between this story and the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve offers Adam fruit from the forbidden tree. Sarai offers Abram this forbidden relationship. Adam took the fruit. Abram takes the girl. There's deep, deep problems here in this story. And look, what in the world was Abram thinking? We might be able to excuse Sarai a little bit, because she hasn't had the same audiences with God that Abram has had. But what was Abram thinking, especially just coming out of chapter 15, where he had a vision of God and where God repeatedly reassured him that his promises were going to come true? God forms a covenant with him, and Abram comes stumbling out of chapter 15 and finds himself in Hagar's tent. What is he thinking? Absolute foolishness on his part. Well, their plan worked, sort of. Hagar becomes pregnant, and we're told that when Hagar became pregnant, Sarai became contemptible to her. In this ancient Near East culture, the fact that Hagar is pregnant by Abram does not give her a higher standing in the estate. It doesn't make her the alpha female over Sarai now. Sarai holds that position of preeminence. Hagar is still just a slave. Her pregnancy is a part of her role as a slave. But somehow, we're not told all the details, Sarai is put down by Hagar. Hagar elevates herself over Sarai, and Sarai was irate. And who did she blame? She blamed Abram. It's Abram's fault. But it was Sarai's plan that created Hagar's contempt. And how did Abram the spineless respond? He told Sarai, "You take care of it. She's your slave. Do whatever you want with her." And so she did. Violently, Sarai listened to the wrong voice. She followed her internal faithless voice that spoke out of impatience and anger and disappointment, and the result was a kaleidoscope of failure. Sarai got God wrong. She played God wrong. She played the tempter right. She created Hagar's contempt, and then she was offended by the contempt that she created, and then she mistreated the girl who she had handpicked to give her a blessing. You've got to listen to the warning of Genesis 16, brothers and sisters. Do not follow your faithless inner voice. When your inner voice is faithless, full of doubt, full of anger at God, when that bitterness becomes your theology, do not follow your faithless inner voice. That warning is repeated throughout the Bible. It's written in the book of Proverbs, and it sounds like this in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he'll make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Do not follow that faithless inner voice that would cut God out of the equation in order to take the thing you want. Don't listen to that voice when it tells you, I'm going to win this argument at all costs. Don't listen to that voice when it gives you permission to raise your voice and swear at your spouse or your kids. Don't listen to that voice when it tells you, it's your money, you can do with it whatever you want. Don't listen to that voice when it tells you, hey, it won't hurt just to flirt a little with the person that's not your spouse. Don't listen to that faithless voice when it says, you don't have a drinking problem. Everyone else has a problem. You're just fine. Don't listen to that voice when it says God has prevented you from the happiness you want, so take it yourself. That faithless inner voice always results in failure, always. You will not succeed that way. There is only darkness. There is only death. God is not there. Brothers and sisters, do not follow that faithless inner voice. But our second lesson in this story about listening is much more positive. It's a lesson from Hagar. And the lesson is this, that listening to God's voice will lead to hope. If listening to this faithless inner voice takes me to places of failure, if I will listen to the voice of God, follow his voice, then it takes me to a place of hope. In verse 7, the spotlight turns from Sarai to Hagar. Look at verse 7. We find Hagar on the run. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she replied, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. If you and I were familiar with our ancient geography, we would know that Shur is a stop on the way to Egypt. She's heading back home. Whatever that home is, that's what this geographic marker tells us. She is leaving the place where Abram has settled. She is headed back to Egypt, where she came from. But her trip is interrupted by the angel of the Lord. Who is this angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord is a divine manifestation. This is what scholars call a theophany, or a divine appearance. And the angel of the Lord speaks for God and speaks as if he is God himself. So Hagar has an audience with God. Here's what's astounding to me about this passage. In this passage, God does not speak to Sarai and God does not speak to Abram, but he pursued and he found and he spoke to and he blessed Hagar, the abused, pregnant Egyptian servant girl. Blows my mind. Who gets an audience with God? Who has a right to see him and to capture his ear and to speak their lament to him? Is it the holiest one among us? The cleanest one, the best one, the most important one? Who gets the ear of God? It is the one who suffers. He sits with us in our suffering. He's present in our pain. He is near to the brokenhearted. Hagar didn't find God. God found Hagar. And in verse 9, he gave her a command, and then it's followed by a list of blessings to come. Look at the command God gives to her in verse 9. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her authority." To our modern ears, this is a hard command to process. God is sending Hagar back to the woman who mistreated her, and there's no explanation as to why this is the best choice for Hagar. We can lob guesses at the passage, but ultimately we don't have all the information to know why this is God's choice for Hagar, why this is the best choice for her. Now, if we sit here with our 2024 lenses on, reading this ancient story and sitting in judgment over it, the Bible will become contemptible to us. I think the right way for us to interact with verse 9 is to put ourselves in the place of Hagar and ask this question: am I willing to walk a hard road that God has appointed for me? Do I trust God so much? Will I walk by faith down the hard road that God has appointed for me? That's the question that's going to mess with you. Because it's not just that God allows suffering in our lives at times. Sometimes He appoints it, and He doesn't explain Himself. He doesn't tell us what's coming next or why this is the road He's chosen for us. We are just left with this question: will I walk by faith with a God who I know loves me, who holds the future, who fulfills every promise to me? I don't understand. This is hard, but am I willing to walk the hard road that God has appointed to me? We just sang these words: whatever my lot, whatever you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Did you mean that when you sang it? We weren't setting you up for this gotcha moment. We just got to realize that this is a truth that is embedded in our faith in Christ, that sometimes God appoints for us hard roads. And is what God told Hagar to do really any different than what Jesus told us to do at the end of Matthew chapter 5, when He told us, don't resist an evildoer. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If he takes your shirt, give him your coat. If he forces you to walk 1 mile, walk 2. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I hear the words of Christ in Genesis chapter 16. There's an old cliche that pops up around the church from time to time. The cliche is this: the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. It's true. To be in the center of God's will, absolutely the safest place to be, but not always the easiest. God appoints hard roads for us. Do you have faith like Hagar? Are you willing to walk the hard road God has called you to? Well, having given the command to Hagar, God next speaks blessings to her. Blessings that sound similar to what God has promised Abram. In verse 10, He tells her offspring are going to be too many to count. In verse 11, she's going to have a son named Ishmael, a donkey of a man. What a great way to describe a not yet born child. Do you know what the name Ishmael means? It means God hears. You might be familiar with this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's called the Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen, Shema. That's Ishmael's name. Shema El, listen. God listens. Every time she calls her boy's name, she's remembering this moment in the wilderness, next to the spring at Shur, where God heard her in her affliction. And then the most amazing thing happens in verse 13. I think one of the sweetest moments in all of the Bible. Hagar names God. Look at verse 13. So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roy." For she said, "In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me." Ishmael, God hears. El Roy, God sees. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. So that in your heartache and in your brokenness and in your disappointments and in your fears, God hears and God sees. You're not alone in this. That's what we conclude sometimes when we listen to that faithless inner voice. I'm in this hard time, therefore God must be gone. But believe Hagar's testimony. God hears and God sees. And I wonder if maybe today he is calling you to put your trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation so that you would have a new name for God. Everyone has a name for God, even if they don't know him. The God who's distant, the God who's made up, the God who's cranky, the God who's out of touch, the God who's a myth. But if you were to be found by Jesus Christ, you would call him my Lord and my God. And that's a sweet name. Sister, what heartache have you lifted to God in prayer? He hears your crying. And brother, what situation has hobbled you? God sees your limp. You are not alone. God is with you. When you listen to the voice of God, even when he appoints for you a hard obedience, you will always find hope. Your confidence in God will increase. Your doubts will disappear because the voice of God never leads us astray. Genesis 16 is all about listening. Who are we listening to? And it teaches us these two lessons, that listening to a faithless voice will lead to failure, but listening to God's voice will lead to hope. How do we listen to God? It's one thing to say, okay, I agree with this. The next question is, how do we do it? You see, if we're not careful, we will think that listening to God only happens in the moment of crisis. And so here comes this fork in the road moment, and we're thinking to ourselves, okay, one way leads to failure, one way leads to hope. Let me listen real hard right now and find what God wants me to do. God, I'm listening, go. And then we wait. But it's the listening that we do long before the crisis that prepares us for the crisis. Are you the kind of Christian who dwells with God? Do you abide with him? Simply just for the joy of being with him? Well, if not, then this story compels you to create the sorts of practices by which we hear the voice of God and we internalize it regularly. You have to get this word in you. How can we have a day in which we don't need to hear the voice of God? We have to get this word in us, and we have to meditate on this word so that it shapes our thoughts, it shapes our inner voice, shapes our decision-making and our wisdom so that we would be people who listen to God. We have good guidance for this from Psalm chapter 119. It says, I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. So if things in your life are fairly easy right now, well, that means now is the time to seek God with all your heart. Anchor yourself in this word and treasure this word. Consume your Bible. Breathe prayer, dwell deeply with God. Now's the time for that. And if things in your life are fairly messy right now, that means now is the time for God to find you. And he will put in you his words of hope and strength. Will you listen? Will you let him speak? Will you give him an audience with your hurt so that you might find the hope of Jesus Christ? The God who hears, the God who sees, is the God who takes us all the way home. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you because you have seen us. God, you have heard us. And even what you have seen and heard from us is more like Sarai and Abram in their failure here, still you have shown us grace upon grace upon grace, and we praise you, God. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you for your patience with us when we are impatient with you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us when we are unfaithful to you. Thank you for this word of warning from Sarai and Abram's life, and this word of hope from Hagar's life that compels us to listen to you. Father, give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, feet to follow, that we would walk in your way, even when that is a hard path appointed for us. So Lord, let us be the people who listen. Let us be people who see you. Let us be people who name you, our Lord, our God, everlasting Father. We're grateful to be your children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.